I'm Norman Gilliland. This is the midday for a Friday. Welcome. And it's this time of year when the UW Varsity Band Concert takes place. And that's a very big event. You never know what the visuals will be, let alone the audios. And it's April 24th, 25th, and 26th, 7:30 each of those nights at the Kohl Center at the UW-Madison. And promotional posters is 40 years, and I imagine all of them have been presided over by my guest today, my guest each year at this time, Mike Lecrone. Welcome.
Thank you, Norman. It's always good to be here, and yes, I was there for all 40 of them.
Any of them stand out in particular?
Well, I think the year we went to three nights because of the demand for tickets, it was the magical Rose Bowl year around here. The whole football team came to the performance, and I think just the attitude of the crowd was so spectacular. So far as we were concerned, we could have done anything and they would have loved it, but I think that one was the one that really stood out, and that also sort of coincided with the 20 year celebration. So there was kind of a double celebration.
Sure, 1994.
Right. And then the year we left the field house, it was sort of a bittersweet one because the field house was such a iconic building in terms of the campus, and we were leaving it for the new Kohl Center. And we tried to make it a very sentimental departure.
Well, it's always an occasion with lots of energy and some surprises too, particularly the entrances. Now, in previous years, in fact, even on some of the CDs, I see you arriving, or at least traveling in various forms. There's the flying bicycle.
Flying bicycle. I've come in on a flying wedge of cheese, a flying tuba.
Now, is this for real on this CD where we're going to be sampling a little later? It's called Any Dream Will Do, and you actually have a jetpack on it?
Well, it's real in that I went up in the air, but jetpack didn't cause me to do it. I was on wires at that point.
I think you weren't the only one who was wired that night. It was probably a very lively occasion. And so you're playing three concerts, and you've been doing that now for all these years. How do you keep it fresh and exciting?
Well, each year, of course, something new happens on the campus, I think. I mean, this year we're kind of bathing in the light of the basketball team who just finished a great run. And we're actually, members of the team are going to appear each night. So that's going to be fun for us to do. But I think we try to use the elements of this Kohl Center, which is, I don't think we've even tapped it yet, it's capable to do from a theatrical standpoint. And so we just try to build on that each year. It's a monster we've created, and we just keep feeding the monster.
Isn't that the way showbiz is, isn't it? You got to keep topping yourself.
Seems to be that's what people expect.
I mean, it's a tough act to follow. You got the Dalai Lama in there, too, on occasion. It's quite a diverse performance area.
Yeah, it's rather imposing. They have a sort of a Hall of Fame, and the picture of the band is in the fall, but you look at all the people who have appeared in the Kohl Center, and the Dalai Lama is right there, pretty close to our picture.
We'll get into the Final Four experience a little bit after some music, and this is from April 21st, 2001, a Varsity Band concert where you performed, among other things, the familiar Malagueña. That's Malagueña, as you've never heard it before.
That's right. You said it all, so it's not, we didn't say it all in Malagueña.
Well, we will. Coming soon. What is that originally?
Well, that originated as a country western song called When You Say Love, You Said It All.
Is that right?
It was written by a man named Steve Carman, who then got into the jingle business. And he's very well known as an author of jingles. And he more or less rewrote it slightly to become a jingle, which was given to Anheuser-Busch Brewing Company. And they used it for a commercial, and that was we started playing that at a time when it was kind of in all the commercial products had really good songs. They were written by accomplished songwriters, and they weren't just little snippets of things. They were full-length songs, and we started playing it, and it caught on. It's one of those things you couldn't have planned, but somehow the people in Wisconsin caught on to it, and we started supplying the when you say Wisconsin, you've said it all, because when we first started playing it, they would put the name of the product
in. Right.
And I didn't think that was good. That was a good business. So we started hollering at the crowd, when you say Wisconsin, you've said it all, and it's become a staple in what we play. I mean, I don't think we can go any place and people would not accept it as the band if we didn't play that.
You have a higher level of interaction with the crowd than probably any other form of music.
I think that's one of the things that's our success is. Oh, dude, I think it's one of the reasons the concert's a success, because people come and they know they're just not going to listen. They're going to be involved, and there's going to be interplay back and forth. There's an expectation that the crowd will participate. And when they don't, I urge them to in one way or another.
All right. Now, the aforementioned Malagueña is a good Spanish piece with all those rhythms. And is this one that you perform occasionally? Or
We do. It's sort of a staple in jazz. Have adapted it. Almost every important jazz band had their own version of Malagueña. And we've sort of put a lot of them together in the version that we play. It's certainly not the way Laconia probably meant it to be, although I understand he was very happy that his music was popularized in this country.
He was certainly, Ernesto Lecuona, the Cuban composer who wrote it, certainly aware of pop culture. I mean, he was a good friend of Desi Arnaz.
Right, right.
So he as you say, no stranger to pop culture. And this is Malagueña.
We're going to start off with a tune, an old Latin American tune by a Cuban named Ernesto Lecuona. And Stan Ken got a hold of it. This is a tune called Malagueña.
Wasn't that a fun piece to do? I'm here with Mike Lecrone, who's the director of the UW Bands, and they are looking forward to celebrating 40 years of varsity band concerts. They're going to be three concerts, April 24th, 25th, and 26th, at the Cole Center in Madison, 7:30 each night. And one can only speculate what kind of goings on there will be. Can you tell us about your entrance, or is that going to be proprietary?
Well, that is proprietary. Actually, the people in the band don't even see it. We work that out sort of in secret, and we like to have a certain amount of impromptu uh-huh. feeling. And the old concerts, when we first started them, they were largely impromptu. They were largely, guess what's going to happen next? And we've always done that with the band. There are a lot of things that will happen the first night particularly that they won't have seen before, which is kind of fun for me to be able to keep something out on them.
Now, what kind of perspective did you have on the Final Four experience?
You know, obviously, like every other Badger fan, I was disappointed we didn't win the game. You come that close. But it's such an experience in every way. I mean, there's the fans who, every note that we played, and we played probably five or six events during the course of that every place we went, the Badger fans were alive. You know, they were obviously really into it. I didn't have to do anything. They were already motivated.
Sure.
The other part of it was just the spectacle of the people. You look this way, and there's an entertainment celebrity. You look that way, there's a sports celebrity.
I noticed that on TV.
Yeah, and it's, you just are aware of this sort of thing that's going, and then there's, it's almost like incidental, oh, there's a game. but it really is a spectacle, and the media have, I mean, everywhere you look, there's media. The kids were being, in the band were being interviewed along with team members. It's just unlike anything they've ever experienced, and I had a great time. I mean, I just said the game ended too late. If it ended about 8 seconds sooner, we'd have been okay.
There's always that, isn't there? Are you even aware of that? I mean, basketball, even unlike football, moves so fast in terms of, you know, you have a game that's close and within just a few seconds it can go one way or the other. But, I mean, you still have your responsibilities as directing the band. So are you ever kind of want to tear yourself away from the band and just watch the game?
I do. And at a game, like the NCAA, it's very regulated. You constantly have someone there who's your liaison on headsets, play now, don't play now.
Oh, really?
You have to be ready to do this. And it's, you really, it really doesn't allow much to just sit back and watch it. I've watched some of the games we won on replay. I haven't seen the one we lost yet.
Well, here's something that you won't get just any place. This is one of your newer CDs. This one that has dueling tubas.
Right. Well, you don't, like you say, you don't hear that. And we do a tuba special every year just to allow, in this case, 26 tubas to play and be featured.
All right, here we go.
Thank you.
you have to blow a lot of air to make a tuba work, don't you?
Well, you do, yeah. And, you know, that's one of the things in the marching aspect of what we do. People forget that, you know, it's easy to hyperventilate because you're expelling air all the time and you're still physically very, very active. And so that's one of the things they have to learn how to do without falling down.
One of the more athletic forms of making music. You also have a CD. Well, I mentioned, in fact, when we started, this is the one that has you and the jetpack on it, Any Dream Will Do. And you actually have a piece that you wouldn't think of as a band. Well, you have a lot of them, but in this one in particular, I think Omio Babbino Caro. What made you choose that?
Well, to begin with, it's one of my favorite arias. I grew up listening to a lot of opera. My dad took me to a number of operas when I was in, and it was an aria that I thought was just really beautiful.
It really stands out, doesn't it, that opera, Johnny Schicchi?
We had this wonderful young soprano. She's since graduated at the university, named Ariana Douglas, and I thought this is a perfect vehicle for her to do. And I had heard her; she had done a little bit of Porgy and Bess for us the year previously. So, looking for a vehicle, I thought, why not? Why not do that? And she did a beautiful job, I think.
You know, that is a combination you would not pick as very promising, but it really worked, didn't it?
A marching band with Puccini. Yeah, yes, it seems to work.
And what's her name again?
Ariana Douglas.
And so she was a UW student?
She was a student at UW. She's now working on her graduate work at LSU in Louisiana.
So what's in the offing for Mike Leckrone and the UW band?
Well, we're making everything celebratory. It's our 40th. It was the Beatles' 50th. We're going to do something about that. We're doing James Bond, who's 50th. He's got some wonderful music
theme songs. Now, what about Shirley Temple?
And Shirley Temple, we recently passed away, and I had an opportunity to meet Shirley Temple once at the Rose Bowl, and the tubas decided they're going to do homage to Shirley Temple with the Good Ship Lollipop and a little bit of Animal Crackers in My Soup. So it's their tribute to I don't know if any of them ever saw any of her work in the films, but she was a very gracious lady when I had a chance to meet her.
You have that impression, yes, from everything you see of her from the age of four.
Right on up.
Yeah. Well, so James Bond, Shirley Temple, and...
And the big theatrical production, we're looking for celebrations, and it's the 25th year of the longest-running show in Broadway, Phantom of the Opera, and it gives us a chance to use the theatrical aspects of the hall,
yes, sure.
And we are using it to full advantage, believe me. And it's fun music. I mean, I think Andrew Lloyd Webber writes in a... It's almost an old-fashioned romantic operatic style, which is really fun for the students to play. And we're having a lot of fun performing it, and we're going to try to give you the impressions of the entire musical in about 12 minutes.
Well, there's a tradition of that, isn't there?
Right. You know,
those kind of opera on the road distillations that they were so popular 100 years ago and more. Well, here's one that you would pick right away as a great piece for band and for the UW band, too. And who actually wrote If You Want to Be a Badger?
Well, actually, it was written by a man named Charles Mills, who Mills Music Hall is named on. And I think he took a existing song and wrote the words to it, and it's become a staple. I mean, it's we can't play that without the audience breaking into clapping, and lately they've put hand gestures with us by the light of the moon. So everyone gets into this tune, and of course, almost inevitably, when we play it, Bucky Badger appears.
I can imagine that would be the case this year, too.
It will.
Your memoir is going to come out, Mike?
That's a good question. I guess maybe when I stop doing it. I haven't had time to write them at this point.
A common problem. Well, thanks for stopping by and spending a little time filling us in about some of the events past and upcoming. This UW Varsity Band Concert is April 24th, 25th, and 26th. So that's
next week.
Yeah, coming right up at the Kohl Center at 7:30 each night. An action-packed event. You can be sure of. Always fun to see you. See you same time next year.
I hope so. It's always fun. Thanks, Norm.